This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Here we go on the Scoreboard Show. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351 is the number. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. The Jags fell today in Indianapolis. 23-3. The Jags are 1-10. Indy now 7-4. And I'm sure some folks want to vent today.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I'm curious to where they are, JP. You realize it's been 4 weeks since you and I have done this. Because we were in, we had the bye week, we were at Wembley, and we didn't do the Scoreboard Show, you and I, and then in Cincinnati, same thing. So it's been a month since we've been able to hear the good cheer of the Jaguar fans following a defeat. Unfortunately, this one, very much like Fred said, reminiscent of the Philadelphia Eagle game in week one. Dominating performance by the defense in the first half. Difference was, when the Jags got set up with a short field in that game, they punched it in with touchdowns. Here, really couldn't do much, even with the field goal that they were able to muster, partially blocked. Doesn't go down as a blocked field goal, but that's an issue for this football team. The defense, you can't. It's very difficult to keep that level of intensity up, especially when the team comes out in the second half and goes three and out, three and out, three and out. First three drives.
Oh, we've heard this over and over again. The defense has played well. They're doing so much. They're getting some turnovers, setting up some field position, and the Jags offense either turns it right back over or fails to get anything done, has to punt it away, and there's just no momentum carried over from one unit to the other.
No, there's not. And, you know, I heard the guys all throughout the broadcast. I heard Fred after the game as well talk about needing to take shots downfield. It does appear, and we're not the guys that are going to break down the film and analyze it like some others might, but it just watching the game, it appears like every time they try to set up and do that, there's not enough time to let those plays develop because the protection is not there well enough. I found it interesting that Fred thought that Jed Fish, he liked what he did today in terms of mixing it up. I thought he was ultra-conservative today. Now, maybe he would have had some shots built in there, and we just didn't see those plays get off because the pass rush didn't allow it. But I've really felt that. I don't know if it was the early interception by Blake Bortles or whether that was the game plan coming in. I'm sure there's a big part of that. It's when you see a team give up that many yards on the ground. Look, I understand sometimes the next week there's a course correction. Sometimes that means you're a bad run defense.
That's very true.
Right? And the Jags were not able to take advantage of that today. And really, for the first time since he's got the starting nod, Denard Robinson got completely bottled up at the line of scrimmage today. A few plays he made catching the ball out of the backfield. Did a nice job there, but 14 carries for 25 yards. Not all him. There really weren't holes. It wasn't like he was missing holes, but he did lay it on the ground again today. And this Jaguar team doesn't have any margin for error. They need a clean sweep in the turnover department. They had a chance. Yeah. They had a lot of them early on in the first half and then gave it back themselves a couple of times to Indy to kind of balance it out.
There was a scare in the second half where the Jags were within reach of reaching the all-time low yardage mark in team history, but they got past that today with some yards late. They were outgained today 389 to 194 overall. 175 to 80 on the ground. Passing yards, of course, 214 to 114 in favor of Indy. Individually, though, Luck's 300-yard game streak was snapped today.
You got that going for you.
So we got that going for us. That was just fantastic. Those are the ones that really stand out today. Of course, third downs aren't great. That's just going to happen. 3 for 12 when the offense is going that bad. That's part of the reason why, too. 3 for 12 on third downs, couldn't get anything done. The Colts were 9 of 17. So all around on offense, at least, back
nothing
to the drawing board. Yeah, back
really
to the drawing board.
At least in the last month, we've been able to say, well, Denard Robinson's been the bright spot. The running game has been there. There was nothing really that going today for the Jacksonville Jaguars offensively. Mm. So, step back and really coming out of the bye week, that's a pretty major disappointment, at least to me. I imagine it will be to some of the Jaguar fans we're about to speak with. You got your hand up over there across the table?
Me too.
JP and I both have our hand up on that one. 355-NFL-1. 355 6351. If you're outside the 904 area code, 1-800-355-NFL1 will get you through. Let's go to Todd out in Jack's Beach to start us off today on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Todd. How are you?
Hey, man. I'm disappointed.
You got your hand up too, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Tackling is basic. You take a man's feet off the ground, he comes off the ground, and these guys can't seem to do that. But I think my main thing was first and goal from the one or two, and you can't punch it in. What is with that?
I'm with you. We said the same thing. You know, we kind of gallows humor. We're sitting there as Marquise Lee made it down to the one. We said, well, you know, that kills that scoring opportunity. But I thought it was curious you throw a fade, JP, to Marquise Lee first. You know,
when
they finally, as we're sitting here saying, hey, you got to use Mercedes Lewis, they tried to throw it to him. Then you had that weird situation where the timeout had been called. But regardless, if you're going to throw the ball to Mercedes Lewis, 6'6", 6'7", you got to throw it up there where only Mercedes has a chance to go up and make a play on it, make it like a basketball play, I think. And, you know, look, I'm not surprised they couldn't push it in with the running game. The running game got no push on the Colts' defensive line, and they were stacking the box and daring them to throw some kind of fade or run some kind of pattern. They had no fear, I thought, today of Blake Bortles.
6'7" against 5'11".
Got to go up and get it.
Throw it up in the air.
You got to give him a chance to go up and get it.
But the play didn't even happen on the play-by-play. It was
correct.
The timeout
had technically occurred, but we watched it, they didn't know that at the time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
what about the other downs before that?
I think Todd's right. Very disappointing. You got to be able to punch that in. I'm not saying use Gerhardt. I don't know if they would have had any more success. They didn't open any holes. They didn't get any push near the goal line. So you're in point-blank range. You've got to find a way. They're struggling to score anywhere touchdowns, but when you get down to the 1 yard line, you have four cracks at it. You have to find a way to get that in. Todd, thank you for the call. Let's get Lewis in Mandarin next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hey, Lewis, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, bud.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't want to say Gus should be fired, but hear me out. Game after game after game, we're just as young in the first half as we are in the second half. And it seemed like we hang in there in the first half of games. Go into halftime, the team makes adjustment, and we can't make nothing. And that's when we get blown out the water. That's coaching. I know he's a young coach. I know it's second season as a coach. But, man, are we getting out coaching the second half. What you guys think?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons, JP, I brought that up with Fred about Jed Fish, because to me that's more the offensive coordinator who's going to take control of the offense at halftime. Your head coach is rarely going to step in if he's not a guy who calls the offensive plays and try to make those halftime adjustments. So, I don't know if it's a case of, the Jags are – there's a gap between them and a lot of these teams, and when you're playing with fresh legs in the first half and you're playing on emotion, they've got enough to keep it close, but eventually the better team starts to pull away. But certainly offensively, to come out 3-and-out, 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 looks like the Colts had their number, and I don't know. I can't tell you what the conversations are like inside the locker room, but nothing that was done that may have been an adjustment worked in the second half. So I would have to, on this one, I would agree with Lewis. I'm not calling for anybody's head, but I'm wondering, what is going on and how many adjustments are being made by these other teams, because, it's not like the Jags scored a bunch of points in the first half, but at least they moved the ball a little bit compared to the second
half. They had a 10-play drive.
Right.
They had, it stalled at Brown midfield. They started on their own 7-yard line. They got out of the hole there, and that was the drive of the half at halftime for us.
Drive of the game, as it turned out.
Yeah, it turned out to be, because in a 6-3 game, that field position, big deal, but after that, it just stalled out. 3 3-and-outs, a 6-play drive and a punt, and then the turnover on downs, which was the interception, weird play at the end. And that was all the second half. So, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
All right, let's get one more in here on the Scoreboard Show before we break, and that would be all the way across the pond to Ireland. Stevie, Irish Jaguar, calling in. What's going on, Stevie? How are you?
Hey, man, I'm not too bad. How are you?
We're hanging in there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I know it's difficult to judge play calling, because if it works, they're a genius. If it doesn't, they're really bad. But it's like, at what point does Coach Fish have to take responsibility for what's happening? I mean, the whole run, pass thought, like, we thought we'd left that behind with JDR and Malarkey, but it's still happening, and it's not getting it done at the moment.
All right.
I think today, just what we touched on a minute ago, it might have been the plan to at least try the run. You know, try the run.
And it should have been the plan based on what you saw last week and what the Jags offense has been doing of late.
The Jags been running the ball well. They got the offensive line back healthy with Linder in there this week. You got Mercedes Lewis in the game finally. Why not give
and
it a chance?
What did you talk about in the pregame show, JP, how the coaching staff, Jed Fish, wants to eliminate the turnovers on first and second down?
That's right.
Right? Well, the way to do that is to rein it in, and this was a football game where Indy did nothing offensively in the first half. They were gifted some field position as well.
That's right.
Their defense set them up, and the Jags' defense really basically held them to almost nothing, you could consider it. They scored 6 points, but against that Colts team, you'll take that every game from here on out for the rest of Andrew Luck's career. So I think the game plan was conservative. Maybe it should have opened up a little bit, but again, we talk about a certain point where they're trying to look downfield and they just cannot protect their quarterback. I don't know what you're supposed to do in a circumstance like that. Bottom line, 3 points is not enough, though. Regardless, this is NFL football. Nobody's saying, hey, you get a pass this year because you got a bunch of young guys. That's not how the league works.
So, oh, wait a minute. 3 points doesn't work?
3 points does not work unless you're playing in the snowplow game. then you're a victor, 3-0.
One of the college games was scoreless going to overtime yesterday, but this ain't college.
That worked for them.
It worked for one of them, at least. We'll come back on the Scoreboard Show. We'll look around the league, some games in action. Your call is 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Final score 23-3. Colts over the Jags. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
355-NFL1, 355-6351 is the number. We'll get to your phone calls coming up after the Jags fall to 1-10. 23-3, the final score. Indy a winner. They're 7-4 in control of the division. Some games current active now in week 12. So many words about those games right there. Current, active,
they're
ongoing.
Currently active, and yes, they're being played as we speak.
as we speak, the Seahawks have 3 field goals. They are leading the Cardinals 9-0. Hauschka with a big day today. That's late second quarter. The Rams lead the Chargers 10-3. Under a minute to play in the first half in San Diego. The Broncos just scored a moment ago. Touchdown pass from Manning to, who was that?
Demaryius
Thomas made the catch. It's 14-10 Dolphins, though, 7 minutes left first half. Under 5 to play first half in San Francisco, the 49ers and the Redskins tied at 7. And, of course, tonight, Cowboys visit the New York Giants.
There you have it. All right.
There you have it.
355 NFL. And, of course, Monday night double dip this week. Not scheduled.
That's right.
But Jets and Buffalo and Detroit.
And how about this? The game that was moved to Detroit.
Yeah.
They were all free tickets, right? From reports earlier today, they're being scalped for over $100.
Well,
in Detroit,
what happened right? was they gave away most of them online, and they had 500 that they were giving away on site, and the two were the max you could get. So all the people that were there, I guess, were a captive audience because when those 500 were given out, they were out of tickets. And they had scalpers trying to sell them for $125 like they had done something to acquire them other than stand in line.
NFL, so, hey, can't
God
lose.
Bless America, baby.
That's right.
You got to keep it going.
The Protect 355 the shield.
NFL1, 355-6351 or 1-800-355-NFL1 outside the 904 area code. Let's go to Saqib on the south side checking in. Hi, Saqib. How are you?
Here we go.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
I don't see if you guys could probably kill me on this, but I don't see any positivity that what Gus is saying, what they're saying. I don't see anything positive that I can say, wow, you know, start of next year, we can go and build through this. I don't, on offense, I mean, this is absolutely unfair and unfair to watch. We have one total yard, I think it was in third quarter, total or fourth quarter. One total or one rushing yard. It's unfair what we're putting for our team out there. And it's unfair that you want us to come see the Jaguars, and I will be there, but it's nothing positive that we can build on. And this is unreal that what they're doing. And they need to get it together. They need to get it together now. It's ridiculous at this some point. No more rookies. This guys have been playing for 11 games. It's time to take the rookies, what they said, take the diapers off. Time to take the diapers off and get it going. It's just ridiculous.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Look, that's fine to say. All right, Marquise Lee, diapers off. What is that going to change? Okay, you can say anything you like about that. He has played very little football this year, right? And he's a high second-round pick. They have a lot invested in this guy. They're going to spend the next 5 weeks in part in trying to get him off and running so he can hit the offseason feeling good about himself and have something to build on. To say that, okay, Marquise Lee, enough of your rookie season. Now you have to be a 100-yard guy every week. You can say anything you like. It's not going to change the facts of the matter. They're having trouble pass blocking. Today they couldn't run the football.
That's right.
Which had been there for weeks. So if this team can't run it right now, and every team for the rest of the season is going to put 8 in the box and tell Blake Bortles, go beat us because we don't think you can. And I don't know if he can right now. You know, Cecil Shorts barely had a ball come his way. Alan Hearns, quiet as can be. You know, Marquise Lee had the one play where he did show you that burst, and that was nice to see. When he ran with the football in his hands, you could see a glimpse of, wow, if they could pull this all together, this guy could be a player. But I'm not going to try to talk Saqib off the ledge. I mean, he's right. There's nothing right now positive about what's going on with the offense, certainly not today.
No.
Although for the last month, you would have said, well, at least Denard, right? You would have had that for 4 consecutive games. So if Denard comes back next week and has a good game, you're not going to freak out about that position.
You had Denard. You had Allen Robinson, who's out for the year. Some positive things today, no.
There's nothing that you're going to point to offensively as it's saying that's a building block. The one thing, just watching Marquise Lee in the open field on that one play, and I'm not saying this should do away with how you feel because you lost the game in the fashion that you did, but if you want the one thing, the one positive to look at is to see him and just kind of glimpse the future maybe, and hopefully there's a lot more big plays like that in his future. But what can you say about the offensive lack of production?
I thought he was not going to clarify offense, defense, Roman, because the defense had a great day.
A ton of stuff.
Plenty to build upon there.
Telvin Smith is, look, here. You want the positive. I'm not trying to spin it all because they're arguably the worst team in the National Football League. It's very they're in that conversation, clearly, and it's them. It's Oakland. That may be it.
Yeah.
I mean, the other teams are more competitive. Even the teams that haven't won much are more competitive typically week in, week out. Regardless, put that aside. You found a long-term – you hope a couple of long-term starters in Telvin Smith late. You found Luke Bowanko late. You hope Aaron Colvin. I mean, you could be talking about 4th, 5th, 6th rounders. Linder's a keeper. There's no question. Allen Robinson's a keeper. There's a range from the 2nd to the 6th round. Well, you nailed a lot of guys. They're going to play a lot of football for this team. Now, that doesn't make this team in the present day any better, any quicker.
Can you say you nailed them yet, though? I mean, it's 11 games into a rookie year.
I think if you sit here and say, do you think Telvin Smith is going to be a good – has he shown you enough to believe – can I guarantee that he's going to be a Pro Bowl or anything? No. But as I look at him now and I say, wow, he handled full-time duties at weak side linebacker and had an outstanding game today. He has flashed already up to this point.
Right.
Luke Bowanko has handled his business as a 6th-round starter. You don't hear his name get called too often for making critical mistakes, for getting his quarterback killed. So I think, yeah, that for a 6th-rounder, that's a pretty good hit. We don't know about Colvin, obviously.
I'll take the hit part of that. 2 or 3 years into it. I think that's when you can really grade if it's really a hit or not. Yeah, it's a
all
hit
right,
for this year, you know. It's
here's one, where we are right now, games. and you look at him and say, what we know now, right?
Because all of a sudden, if he doesn't perform next, for some reason something happens and he's not playing like that, then
sure,
you didn't hit him.
But all you've got to go on is what you have to go on now, right?
Sure.
So, and based on that, does Linder look like a player? Absolutely.
How about this? It's a good start for those guys.
Okay, that's fine. It looks – well, it's semantics. I mean, you don't want to – I'm going to say the way
say
I want to say
it.
You can say it the way you – it looks to me like, as what we know now, that you hit on those guys. Yes.
It's a good start.
Say it however you like. Tracy on the south side, next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing today, man?
Good.
What's up?
All right. Down with Jaguar fan, man, of course. One thing, it's just so painful to watch what we're going through, man. Being a laughingstock of the NFL is no joke, but – besides that, my main concern right now, and I know everybody is rookie, Blake Bortles, and he's going to have his rookie mistakes, but let's just say he doesn't correct his interception problem. Every game, if I'm not correct, since he started, he's throwing an interception, correct? at least one.
Yes.
So my question is, you know, do we also take another quarterback in the draft next year? Because what if he continues to have this problem over the next year or so? And I'll take my comments out there.
All right. Well, it's not going to happen early. So, I mean, could they draft another quarterback at some point in seven rounds? Sure, they could. But not a word spoken by this organization indicates that their belief in Blake Bortles has wavered whatsoever. Now, however they evaluate him behind closed doors, they can't be happy about the interceptions and where he stands right now. But keep in mind, there's a guy that people chose not to believe it. They said from day one, we don't want to play him this year. He's not ready.
That's right.
He's not ready. And there was everyone clamored for, oh, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he looks like. Just get him in there.
Get him in there.
He doesn't play well, you got people already questioning whether they're going to draft another quarterback. I'm not saying Blake Bortles. I don't know what Blake Bortles is going to turn out to be. You know, he's certainly not in the category of Brandon Linder, where Brandon Linder has started and played at a pretty high level at times. Blake's not in that category right now, but he's got the full support of the organization. Everything they're doing is to build a franchise around number five.
Would you say you hit on that pick?
On Blake Bortles? I would not. How could, at this point, would you say
no,
that?
No.
By the standard I was talking about before, and again, we're using semantics.
Right.
Is it a good start for Blake Bortles in your mind? Compared to these other
first
guys?
First few games, maybe. It's a start. It's a start.
Sure, everyone's
from zero.
Career is a start.
But that's my whole point, is that you don't know what's going to happen. Like, 2 or 3 years is what you want down
you
the road.
But I'm just, based on the results, like, if you were going to grade how these guys have played, forget where they are drafted or the fact that
this year alone.
This year alone.
Okay,
how they played. You'd say Linder is maybe an A,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
Telvin Smith, I don't know how you'd grade him. He hasn't started the whole season.
B plus.
Those right,
he's
those,
around.
Those guys are going to get pretty. Yeah. How would you grade Blake Bortles right now?
I'd give him, depending on the scale, probably C minus.
Had to be below C to me. I mean, if you're just grading on how he's performed, discounting the fact that he's a rookie quarterback, and I know everything that goes into that, but just his pure performance compared to other quarterbacks in the league, I'm not saying that's fair to judge him that way, but just, you know, that's the guy you're rolling out there every week as your QB.
Is it his fault?
I'm not saying it is. Well, some
I'm saying,
of it is.
I'm just, yeah, I agree
I
with that.
Some
I'm
of
totally
it.
With
the,
you on
look,
that. Some of the throws you can't make. I get that.
And the circumstance, look.
I just don't want
to. A ton of rookies. I'm not throwing Blake Bortles under the bus or throwing him out with the trash here.
Thank you.
Absolutely not. I mean, come on. But
I
understand,
like
I understand why this. You kidding?
I'm just kidding. I'm totally
please
kidding.
don't put words in my mouth in this situation here, all right? This is a touchy one.
This is serious. This is serious business. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. Yes, your call's coming up. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll check the scoreboard in the NFL as well. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show,
Scoreboard Show
continues right now.
We are roaring along in the Scoreboard Show. 23-3, Colts over the Jags. Colts are 7-4, firm control of first place in the AFC South. The Jags are 1-10. Score some great deals. See a Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Ford. Go further. Update of the scores. Most of these games are at halftime now. Seahawks over the Cardinals, 9-3 at half. Rams lead the Chargers, 10-6. That's halftime. Two-minute warning in Denver. Dolphins, 21. Broncos, 10. Look out there. And halftime, the Niners lead the Redskins, 10-7. Of course, the nightcap tonight, the Cowboys and the Giants.
All of a sudden, Denver kind of scuffling along the last few weeks. So
quarterback issues.
I'm
saying
21-10, and trying to drive down and get another touchdown at the end of the first half. All right, I see what you're doing over there. 355 NFL one. Are you really surprised?
I'm just messing with
no, you, but man, are you surprised that on a 1-10 team where we just saw that offensive output?
That was a bad day.
People are going to question every aspect of it. And I think
they should.
They
it
should.
Makes sense.
You know. 355-6351. Let's go to Kathy on the north side up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Well, I could say that I would be doing better. That was like an absolutely painful game to watch today. And when I look at it and I try to be as objective as possible, I really and truly think the problem does lie with the offensive play calling. It is so predictable. They know what we're going to do. Every team knows what we're going to do before it happens. That's part of the problem. Yeah, we're very inconsistent, but everyone knows what Jed Fish is going to do. You know, I don't know if he's afraid for Blake to throw it down the field, or try to because of the interceptions, but you have to open it up a little. You know, you don't get anywhere by being passive like that, and it is unacceptable that we could not punch it in the end zone after three. I mean, they could have, run him to the outside, but they were stacking the box. There was no way we were going to get in the end zone with the play calling that they were calling. It was horrible.
All right, thank you, Kathy.
I think the question is going to be this week, how many were called downfield?
Correct.
And that's been, they've been pretty upfront about that. They've, in the past, have had some plays called downfield and either protection didn't hold up and there was a sack or something broke down, they couldn't get it off in time. That'll be the question this week. What's the balance of that versus just not calling it?
I thought we saw some in the first half, JP, where Blake got rid of it as he was getting hit, and we saw what looked to be really bad incompletions because his arm's getting hit, he's getting hit in the back, whatever the case. In the second half, I felt like it got worse. He didn't even get time to get those passes off. Now,
because they're pinning their ears back, and it's just time to come.
True, yeah. but they're getting there. Yeah. On top of that, it's not getting picked up. And could he possibly on occasion do something to get the ball out quicker? Sure. I mean, of course he could, but that didn't seem to be the overriding thing. I didn't think he was just holding it too long. I just thought the pressure was too much when they did try to let things develop. I'm not saying the play calling was magnificent. I don't have a problem with the conservative game plan, but at a certain point in time, you're running for 2 yards a carry with Denard Robinson, and I understand what Kathy's saying. It looked like everything was stacked up in the middle of the field. Can you try to run something to the edge? I didn't think they had much success running anywhere. Edge, up the middle, what have you. And you know what happens? Anytime it doesn't work, it's a bad call, right? As we've talked about many times. When you run it outside from the 2 or the 1 yard line, the first thing people say is, why are you running it outside? Why don't you just punch it right at him? You can't pick up 2 yards.
Well, shortest distance is straight line. Go right at
him. Exactly. Right? Go pound it up there right at him. But, Kathy, I understand the frustration. We got to get some specifics. You're right, JP, this week about how many shots they were willing and looking to take down the field.
Well, they've been honest. I mean, they've pretty much been straightforward about that in the past. And we'll see. It's going to get tight, man. I mean, it's 1-10. It is what it is. So things could get tight. Tighter than they have been, let's put it that way.
Let's go to Kevin in McClenny, next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kevin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Great, thanks.
All right.
There's a couple things I wanted in defense of Blake. You know, the first 3 or 4 weeks, none of the teams had much film on him. After that, all the teams had film on him. So he went through one learning curve. Now he's going through another learning curve. And when you're down on the 1 yard line, you're going to send Marquise Lee out for a 50-yard route to outrun everyone? You can't. So, he's still going through that second learning curve. And I just want to hear what you guys have to say about that. What do you think about it? And I'll take it off the air. Thanks.
All right. I think the whole season's a learning experience for a rookie quarterback. But, look, he's struggling right now. He's not playing good football, period. He's turning it over way too much, and he's not balancing that off with explosive plays or, just putting points up on the board. And again, I'm not putting all the blame on him, but if you're just grading how is your quarterback playing, I don't think he's playing very well right now.
I don't either.
Well, whether that's a second learning curve or however you want to phrase it.
I think there's something to what he said. I mean, yeah, if you get more tape, they're going to learn some tendencies and what you do well, what you don't do well, and exploit you a little bit, and it's up to him to adjust to that. And that, yeah. So there's some of that there.
But, it's a fair comment, yeah, sure.
I don't know if that's everything.
Certain point, you got to overcome that. You've been around now for, 8 starts, right? You should be more comfortable.
That's right.
You're seeing the Colts for the second time as well as you made your debut in the second half against them. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have more knowledge, you've got
those both ways,
right?
Two-way street.
If you're going to be that guy who's the guy, at a certain point, that's got to catch up with it coming back the other way. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Kevin in Savannah next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Not too good. You know, I know you guys are doing what you're supposed to do, and you're talking about individual performance. But the coaching from the head coach to special teams to the offensive coordinator is just so bad. There is enough talent on this team to at least look respectable in ball game, and they're not looking respectable. They're looking absolutely pathetic. I mean, you have Gus Bradley throwing a challenge flag on a second down that he ends up losing. I mean, I don't understand that. You've got people moving on punts still. You at the end of the first half, they had a shot to throw the ball downfield, and they take a knee. The offense, there's enough talent on that offense to put something together. I mean, I know they have some holes to fill, but it looks so anemic that it's, you know, there are people that are getting to the point that just don't care. And I really, you know, I used to care when the games came on, and I'm at the point where now that I just don't care. And I think they're in dangerous area of losing a bunch of the fan base. So thank you, fellas.
All right, thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for the call. Special teams, something we haven't brought up today. The deflected field goal went in anyway, but still that was an issue earlier in the year. It crept back up again. And then Cribbs had a return for a touchdown that was negated by a penalty that was away from the play. So they didn't cover that. I mean, there were some more special teams issues today.
Look,
so,
Reggie Wayne was wide open for a walk-in touchdown on a play that Andrew Luck will hit 97 times out of 100. And one of those three times he didn't was today. So it could have been worse. There's no question about that. The one point, and it's not to nitpick Kevin, but the end of the first half, what has this offense done to inspire you at all? And now you're in the game. It's 6-3. You're getting the ball to start the second half. What's the one thing that's going to kill you? What if you throw a pick six right there because you're trying to get greedy? I didn't have a problem with them taking it to half at the time. I mean, it could have gone either way. That wasn't one I'm going to fight you for, though, to say they had to absolutely maximize that opportunity. I understand you can say, well, look, you're struggling. You got to take advantage of every opportunity you get. You could also look at it as we're struggling. Let's not hand one here to Indianapolis because we do something stupid, or if they get a sack fumble because we're trying to throw the ball deep down the field, something like that.
Or we're struggling, and to play devil's advocate, two-minute situations are Bortles' strength. Hey, let's give it a shot.
Sure.
See what happens. We've got a timeout. Let's give it a
shot. That's fair. Absolutely, that's fair.
It was 12 seconds. It wasn't
right. Exactly. It wasn't like you had 2 minutes to go, but
if
I understand
you had more time, yes.
Clearly, if they had a minute left, I think they would have been trying to do it. Sure. 12 seconds, you got to almost be perfect, and even if you are, the odds are extremely low you're going to put points on the board.
You brought up the challenge flag thing again. I didn't quite understand the second down. It was a measurement situation.
It's one, if you hit, it's not going to hurt you because you'll get the bonus one because you hit the first challenge. But I guess at that time, you don't know if you're going to have another opportunity that comes up. You think he may, and he may in fact have stepped out. You just can't get a clear enough camera angle on that. It's one, look, anytime you challenge in a situation like that, and it's unsuccessful. The coach is open for criticism. And we kind of wondered, is the benefit, even if you get it, worth it? Because it's going to be third down and short. It's not like they won't have a chance to pick that up.
Yeah, but I guess part of it is you make it third down and you get another chance to stop them.
Yeah, and if you're right, it's still third down. You put the pressure on, maybe get them off the field after one more play, and you still have a challenge flag in your pocket.
Well, they were still down three scores at that point, right?
Understood. And so maybe you're just trying to make something happen at that point. If you don't challenge that, and then a replay comes up a minute later, it shows him clearly stepping out of bounds.
Then, oh, Gus, come throw the flag.
You know, again, I get it. When things aren't going well, all these things together are great sources of frustration for the fans. I totally get that. Let's see if we can get Zach in here in Gulfport, Mississippi, next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hey, Zach, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. As good as I can, I guess, after this loss and this past whole season. I'm just really concerned about the play call. I mean, it's so predictable. Where was Mercedes Lewis even targeted more than two times? And where was he on that first and one on that fade to Marquise Lee? I didn't see him on the field. And that really concerns me because that's 6'7" guy right there you can throw to. Of course, they tried to throw it to him on second down. that didn't work out. But, I mean, that's one of your big playmakers in the end zone that's supposed to be there, and he wasn't even on the field. And I'll take your comments off the air.
Sure.
Thanks for the call. Mercedes Lewis today targeted 3 times. That one reception for negative 5 yards is
right.
Line today.
I was surprised that he wasn't more involved today as well, but it wasn't an aggressive passing game period today.
Well, he was the target on the interception.
Correct.
Early, right? And then the negative 5, but the other one in the end zone didn't count.
That didn't count. There was another one somewhere along the line
somewhere
that we're not thinking of. But
if we're not thinking of it, it didn't happen enough. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah. And I do agree with the point by Zach. Why are you throwing a fade to Marquise Lee? He may be the shortest receiver you have on the field. I don't understand that play call. And could it work? I guess, certainly. But I'd rather take 4 shots to Mercedes than take 1 shot to Marquise Lee. You know, I mean, I'd rather just keep going back to the same play over and over and over again with a 6'6", 6'7" guy that put it up above the cornerback's head, let him go up there and rebound it like a basketball. You know, they tried it once. It wasn't a great throw, and then it was wiped out because of the timeout anyway. So
my question would be on that play, who else was on the field and what were they doing? And was it a quarterback issue or was it a play call issue?
What, John, the Marquise Lee throw?
Question.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't.
Did he make the wrong read, maybe?
I got to believe.
You know
play
I mean?
Like that. Yeah, I do. But a play like that
it's
seems
quick,
to me.
It's a quick
It's an
play.
Automatic, right? It's like you see it, you get it, you know what you're looking for.
You throw the ball.
And it's hard for me to believe that that's going in there as the primary option. But I don't think Blake would throw it unless it was the primary option on that play. I don't know. I think there will be questions about that and other play calls in this football game going forward this week. All right, 355-NFL-1 and 355-6351. Same numbers.
Yeah.
Get you on board.
We'll take a timeout on the Scoreboard Show. More of your calls coming up. 23-3. Indy over the Jags. They're now 1-10. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Scoreboard Show continues. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, 23-3, but doesn't even seem that close today. I don't know. The first half was 6-3.
First half was outstanding, man. That defense, man, they were
– played great.
And honestly, first 23 half. Points against the Colts in the sum total of things is big boy football. You're going to give up some points in the National Football League. I thought they overall can you point to a play? Yeah, the long touchdown to T.Y. Hilton's bad, but – how many times can you send him out there, ask him to continue to get stop after stop after stop? This game is not in any way, shape, or form on the defense. The outcome of it isn't.
Remember, field goals for Firehouse, when the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you'll get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Not this week.
Nope.
Scobie from 28 yards today. It was deflected, but still good. It tied the game 3-3 in the first quarter with 4:17 to play, but not good enough today for free subs.
Even 28-yard field goal, JP, was
tough.
A struggle.
Hard
to get
to
it
do.
Through the upright today. All right, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351.
Let's jam through, some calls here,
but
man.
If you don't get in, you'll stick around for the fifth quarter with T. Wig and Hacker coming up here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Wes is in Green Cove and on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Wes.
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show. Just want a couple comments. One about the coach, and I kind of agree with that. It's almost high schoolish at times. But what I really want to talk about was Dave Caldwell. I like him. You know, listen to him talk. But you think about Beatles and Jokel, talk pick, talk free agent. You know, neither one of those players are doing anything like what we thought they would do. You look at his draft picks, we talk about, you know, what you guys talk about is, hey, that's pretty good value for a fourth-round pick. Hey, for a fifth-round pick, he's doing good. But I'm not hearing you saying how our first and second-round picks from last year are in the Pro Bowl, and I'm not hearing you say anything about this year's first and second-round picks are getting Pro Bowl consideration or not game changers. I think they have a really great team. We got to have those first and second-round picks hit and be game changers instead of, like, fourth-round picks are really good value. Thanks, guys.
I would totally agree with that. We do point it out because you hate that, JP, we're the 1-10. We could sit here, we could be negative for every minute we're on the air if we chose to.
You got a whole week of that ahead of you.
Hopefully I don't have a whole week of that ahead. I mean, there's plenty of it to point to, but you do try to have some balance and say, well, here are things they have done well, and one of the things they have done well is identify seemingly later round picks over the last couple of years that look like they have bright futures. But I get it. You want your guys who you're picking near the top of the draft to come in and play at a Pro Bowl level. You know, when you're picking in the top five, that's what you expect. Now, is it realistic to get that every time? No, but I would agree. I mean, Jokel has not been, you know, he hasn't played to me like a future multi-year Pro Bowl tackle, and you're hoping you get that in the first round. Everything, you talk to Tony Boselli, who he's much more of an authority on it than we are, tell you he's got every tool you want to be a very, very good player in the National Football League. But, you know, tools are great up to a certain point. They can carry up to a certain point. You got to turn that potential into production.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
I agree with that. But I think you got to be careful when you throw that name Boselli out there, because if you're going to compare those two guys, that's not what I'm saying. Because
Tony isn't analyzing that position, knows that position cold.
But a lot of people compare those two guys, that he needs to be this,
no.
You can't do that.
Tony totally was an all-time great, whether he eventually gets the Hall of Fame recognition or not.
6'7", 320.
Tony's beyond what you expect from the second pick in the draft.
Different animal.
Yeah, no. Oh, no. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you expect a guy who every few years or so could pop up, make a couple Pro Bowls in his career. I'm not saying a perennial every single year future Hall of Famer. You're lucky if you get one or two of those a decade, if that.
And those don't really exist anymore in the National Football League. The left tackles these days, we've talked to Tony about this a lot. You're not going to find – it's hard to find that. The left tackles of old – you know, the Munozes and all these
guys,
they're not around right now.
But even you could list the ones you the great left tackles. How many could you list?
A handful,
right? That's the thing.
That's the point.
Yes, exactly. They don't grow them on trees.
I just wanted to clarify because folks get
– Oh, no. I'm glad you did.
Get that mixed up.
No, the only reason I bring up Tony is because he's an authority on line play, and when he tells me that Jokel has the tools, I'm going to believe him 100%. He's got to turn those tools into production is my only point. I'm not saying he has to turn into Tony Boselli. No one should expect that. Let's go to Carolyn on the north side. Always entertaining. Carolyn, welcome to the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
How are you all tonight?
We've been waiting for you to call.
First of all, I'm not just taking up for a certain person, but Blake Bortles is going to be just fine. He's going to be a Pro Bowl in the future. He is the future. And let me tell you something. This coaching staff just downright stinks. These play calling is horrible. They won't let the boy throw the ball. They scared he's going to throw an interception. So what if he throw interception? That's going to happen as a rookie. Veteran players do that. You ever know the quarterback ain't never threw an interception or two? That wouldn't take nothing from his talent. But this play calling is horrible. Jerry Fish and Gus Bradley got to go because they have not shown me anything. I don't know whether he showed y'all anything, but he showed me anything.
All right, thank you, Carolyn. Appreciate it. They got to go.
She's calling for heads all of a sudden.
And she's not going to be happy, at least with Gus's head.
She's defending that quarterback.
Gus is as safe as a 1-10 head coach has ever been in the National Football
League. I agree with that.
Right?
Yes.
So she is defending a future multi-year Pro Bowler Blake Bortles.
But to her defense, from day one of this season, she has been on the Blake Bortles train.
No question about it.
And that has not wavered one bit.
I hope she's right now. We all hope she's right. This franchise needs that to be the case.
We'll take our final time out. One last segment of the Scoreboard Show. Yes, the fifth quarter show is coming up. If you don't get on this one, 641-1010 is the number. Those guys, T-Wig, Hacker, will take your calls a little bit later tonight. 355-NFL-1 here, 355-6351. Final segment of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
The JTA's new route optimization initiative will provide reliable service, increased bus frequency, rename routes, and decreased travel time starting December 1st. For more information, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. Welcome back. Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. 23-3 Indy over Jacksonville. This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Well, no injuries today of note, which
that's
is
good. That's
really
positive.
Good news.
Yeah.
That's a positive from today. There were some injured players back today after the bye week.
Net gain for the Jags, so we'll take it.
Okay.
We got to look for the bright spot somewhere.
Might be the shortest injury report of the year. Right
love
there,
it.
Which is good news.
Josh Evans left but came back.
Yeah.
So nothing Gus even said afterwards. I think we came out pretty clean on that score. So there you have it.
All right.
All right. Let's get Mike in Mandarin before we close out
last
on
one.
The Scoreboard Show. Mike, What's on
hey
your
guys,
mind?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, guys, two quick comments here. First comment is having a bye week, having a whole week off to plan game plan for Indianapolis, going against one of the worst defenses in the league, and we can put up only 3 points, pathetic. Second statement is, when does Khan start going ahead and start pushing the panic button here a little bit? Is it next year or the end of this year? I'll take your comments off the air, guys.
Well, everybody's looking towards, I mean, if you listen to the national folks and all that, and Pete Prisco's and all that, 2015 is the year, right? I mean, that's the year that this team should compete and be in the mix in December for some kind of postseason berth of some kind. I think that's the idea, I think, nationally on this.
Or at least, you know, threaten 500, right?
I mean, which would mean you're fighting
for
a playoff.
Which would mean you're in the hunt into December. Doesn't mean you have to go to the playoffs next year. As far as the panic button goes, you know, we're discussing this today. We're looking ahead here. There's 5 games left. A lot of things can happen. I don't want to predict the record. But let's say they didn't win another game, JP. I mean, there could be. The head guy being Gus Bradley, his head's not rolling. Okay, that button's not getting pushed. It is not getting pushed this offseason, period. Now, below that, on the coaching staff, if you go 1-15, don't be surprised there are going to be changes. Now, they could win a couple of these games. They could win 3 of these games down the stretch. We don't know what they're going to do. So it's kind of silly to speculate on that. But in terms of Shad Khan having the panic button, his button relates to Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. He's not pushing those buttons. What Gus does with his staff, we'll see. But a lot of that's going to be dependent on how things play out and the circumstances of how they play out and all that. So
that's right.
There you have it. Giants.
Nothing to add.
Next week, let's move on.
New York Giants.
Start
a page. 1 o'clock, Sunday, Everbank Field.
Welcome back. Here's the boot. Put it to you. Let's do it, man.
Why not?
Why not?
Haven't been home in a month.
Holy smokes. They need a home game. They need a home crowd, and I understand the frustration. Man, we've heard it. You know, how could you not be frustrated if you're a Jag fan right now? You know, just all you can say is live the fight another day, and that's coming up next Sunday against the New York Giants.
We'll go on the air at 10 o'clock with the Publix Tailgate Show Sunday, noon with Countdown to Kickoff on the network, 1 o'clock kick. Tom Coughlin and the New York Giants, they play tonight against the Cowboys in New York, and, of course, they'll be here next Sunday.
Well, short week for Jaguars today, by the way, let me point out,
with
Thanksgiving coming up
this
week. Holiday. Yeah. Thanksgiving to all the folks out there. Don't listen to Jaguars today. No, I'll be in here with Fat Tony tomorrow, John Osher, Logaman on Tuesday, probably Mark Long on Wednesday. I'm going to eat turkey, and then I'm going to sleep all day Friday. My plan.
You're off Friday too.
I'm off Friday too, JP. It's how it rolls. How many days did I see you in here on the bye week, by the way? Not too many.
I took some days off.
You're right. It happens. All right. I'll be back with you next Sunday.
That's
doing
fair.
This right here, hopefully talking about the Jags' second victory of the season.
We will have Jaguars Monday tomorrow night as well. Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli, and probably a special guest tomorrow night. So stay tuned for that. Our thanks to Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato. For Mike Dempsey and everyone involved, we thank you for your calls tonight. This is J.P. Shadrick saying good evening. That's it for the Scoreboard Show. The fifth quarter show with T-Wig and Hacker is next. Final score in Indy today. The Colts over the Jags 23-3 on Jaguars Radio.